Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Diane McClay Show, empowering life through choice. Get ready to discover new perspectives, motivation, and balance through Diane's compassionate storytelling and insightful discussions. Whether you're feeling stuck and discouraged, or curious and looking for more possibilities, Diane has your back, and she's ready to take you on a journey of self-discovery and expansion. Choice is powerful, and so are you. The Diane McClay Show starts now.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome in to the Diane McClay Show, where we are empowering you through the power of choice. We are on episode 4. I'm so excited. This is Christmas week. We just had the winter solstice. Today is my birthday, the day we're recording this show. Christmas is coming up. The New Year's coming up, and I've got one of my great friends, Trish Campbell from Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. I hope I said that right. Trish is a writer, transformation coach. She's the founder of InVibe. And she's a Reiki master teacher, and she was here to remind us to remember who we came to be. Trish, welcome in.
Hi, Diane. Thank you so much, and happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
I'm so excited to be here. So,
you know, there is nothing better than doing a live radio show on Transformation Talk Radio with one of the best producers in the world, David, and having one of my friends be able to talk about two of my favorite things, which is choice on my left side and courage on my right. You see those two words on my wall. We'll talk about those in a little bit. So before we get into it, we're going to talk today, our listeners, we're going to talk a little bit about strengthening your mind and your body and your spirit through Reiki and through energy. Understanding why you should stop being a people pleaser, especially as we go into 2021, and how you can build a home inside yourself rather than relying on all the external stuff. Trish, jump in real quick. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself. You know, give a little 1 minute thing. What's the meaning of InVibe, and what do you mean by remember who you came to be?
Okay, great. So a little bit about myself. I started InVibe after a 20-year career in the corporate world in sales and marketing, and coming to this place of just looking for more meaning and more purpose in my life, and realizing I had forgotten who I was through all of that. I realized I had I lived my life checking all of the boxes of society for society's definition of success versus like really, you know, we kind of get conditioned into tuning out what is coming intuitively. And I just kept, you know, walking through this path of making others see who I was rather than showing up as authentically as myself, and taking this path of what, like I said, society defined as success, like going to get a university degree, getting married, buying a house, having kids, and all in that order. And then realizing that I had lost who I was in all of that. And I would change nothing of that path, because our journey is always full of lessons and learnings. And that is what we're here to do, is to find that path towards our truer self. So I started InVibe to do that work and to help others, because I noticed that a lot of other people were in that same boat.
So. And what's the meaning of your name of your company, InVibe?
InVibe is really about, well, being in tune with that intuition. And we are all energy. That vibration is, energy is a vibration. And it's about being in tune with that and just going with the flow. Life has many twists and turns. And it's about trusting that no matter what, you know, you're being guided intuitively, and to come back to yourself and remember, uncover all of those things that society has told you you are, and remember who you are, who you came here to be. So,
you know, and thank you for that. I think that's beautiful. Before we got on the show, you know, we talked a little bit about how it's very easy to absorb someone else's story for us, or someone else's story about them, and somehow we bring it into our world. Can you talk a little bit about why it's important for us to separate our story from someone else's story? And then what happens when we start to do that, especially on the intuitive and the energetic level?
Okay. Well, I think it's important, because that's how we forget who we are, because it starts very young. We start to learn how people receive us, and then what is accepted of who we are, what we show of ourselves. And we start tuning or toning that down and, you know, showing up a fragmented self, it carries into our adulthood. And that piece of it is how we, you know, remembering that we aren't here to live our lives for everybody else, because in that we have this emptiness, we lose our purpose. And so many people, in especially in 2020, are coming to this realization when everything has come to a grinding halt, that what am I doing? What is my life about? There's got to be more to it than this. And to, you know, start showing up as we truly are, and start, we all have this unique energy, this unique way of being. And I think when we do that ourselves, we give other people permission to show up authentically who they are. And I think it's so important in every area of our life. And specifically, I started this work because I noticed that at work, where we spend the majority of our days, we are showing up, we're asked to shut down parts of our personalities. And a lot of that is where our creativity is stored. And so then we are asked to perform to our highest ability, yet we're working as fragmented selves. So it's about empowering ourselves and trusting that path of being our authentic self is where we're supposed to be.
You know, I like how you say that about really recognizing that we give something up when we, and not to say, just let me back up and say that if you're working a 9-to-5 job and you have an employer or you're in the corporate world, that's not wrong. It's not bad. That's not evil. It's just that there can be a trade-off sometimes when you're expected to fit into a corporate mold. I know in my case, when I worked for a state agency, one of the things I realized is I have a really out of the box thinking kind of mind, and I have a lot of solutions that come, but they don't come in the structure that the agency likes to see them or feels mm-hmm. comfortable. And in order for me to stay doing the work that they wanted me to do, I had to leave that at home, that creativity, that yeah. autonomy, that, okay, let's just try it and see what happens. And if it fails, then we'll learn something. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that helped me step away from my dream job at the time was recognizing that that authentic self had a need, and it was like a plant. It was wanting to be watered. It wanted to grow. And so bringing it back to other people that are currently working for the corporate world doesn't mean you have to quit your job. It No. just means that you have to find ways in the other parts of your life to make sure that those fragments, as you say, or those leftover pieces get fed. Is that true?
That's true. And it's so good you're bringing up this point, because this year has showed us that I think people having to work from home has opened up a lot of people's eyes around the fact that people are showing up authentically on Zoom calls, like we're doing right now, but
sometimes too much.
Sometimes, you know, you're wearing a shirt and pajamas on the bottom, and it's like your kid's coming in and you're in the middle of a conference call or whatever it is. But this is the humanity that we need to bring back into the workplace. And I think In the corporate world, they're realizing that people are happier when they're allowed that flexibility to be themselves, to be their whole self. And that's really about the work that I'm doing at InVibe, is helping people find their whole self, because we have been so conditioned to tuck away pieces of ourselves to please other people and to make everyone else happy for how we're living our lives. And everybody does that, I think, or to some extent.
So what I'm really hearing you saying is this sounds like a big, gigantic permission slip to invite people to actually welcome themselves. Hold on one second. Okay, so here's real humanity coming in. Here's, David, we're not gonna take a break on this, because I think we can talk over it. Trish is they're having a real life fire drill in her apartment today. This is humanity. This is what we just talked about, bringing humanity in from home, and recognizing that our pets might walk in at any point in time, or there might be an abstract noise that we cannot manage. So there you have it. Thank you, universe, for giving us a good example of how reality and humanity really just come back into our space. So where was I going with that? I think that this is critical, that this is a big permission slip, especially as we move into the sign of Aquarius, and as we've got air energy coming into the world right now. We're giving people permission to use the words behind me, choice and courage, and really remember who they are. Right?
Yes.
And do you have one or two things that you could help people, if they've forgotten who they are or they're trying to remember? Do you have one or two things that our listening audience could take home before Christmas holidays when they spend time with their family?
Well, I think that it's just about making the choice to do something that might be a little bit uncomfortable. it's even if it's something small, to step outside of that world that you're in and created that, that comfort zone, because we are here to, share our gifts. We all have these innate gifts that we are born with, and the world is full of possibilities, and we have been living in this like box. And now if any time, you know, if we've been through this, we've survived 2020, we're almost to the end and into 2021. It's such a good time to make that choice to, and I'm not saying you have to leave your 9 to 5 or what, but it's stepping into those things that bring you joy in your life, that give you meaning, that give you purpose, that remind you of who you are, like what brings you joy, just little things. And it's about gratitude as well. I think that is a good practice to help you come back to what fills you up and sets that foundation. I use that every day as a practice. It is the little things that really bring us joy and help fill us up and help fuel us. And in doing that and taking those choices, whatever it might be, that's trying something new, following something creative that sparked within you, and it's going to require you to be vulnerable. And that's where the courage comes into play. And Brené Brown is like one of my, well, she's just been so instrumental in my journey. And what is it? She says, vulnerability isn't our weakness. It's our greatest strength. And mm-hmm. that it's the true test of courage is being vulnerable. So I think that that is like so important to remember that it's not a bad thing to be vulnerable, to show up, even if you're afraid. I was a little bit nervous about doing a podcast. This is my very first one, and I am here. And the day you asked me to do it, it fueled this fire in my life. Like everything just took off. And I just like, I'm having, you know, I'm like, please let this continue because it's incredible, but it's almost like, let me keep up at the same time. But it's amazing how those, you know, it starts to build momentum like that.
It does. And the other thing is that one of the thing that, that our listeners don't know is we have a great personal relationship outside of the show. We both left our jobs. We both became transformation coaches. You are becoming an author. You're actually going to drop a book here soon. Let's speak to that real quick. And then I want to touch base into nature and how it connects us. But to the listening audience, just remember that when you're vulnerable, this is when you really need to build your tribe around you of the people who accept you for who you are and don't judge you. And they're just willing to support you in that place of vulnerability. Cause it doesn't feel good when you're vulnerable and then you feel rejected. Like this is why you need coaches. It's why you need a tribe of people. It's why you need to read books and bring inspiration into your life from other people. But speaking of books, talk about, this is exciting. So you are actively getting ready to be published right now with a book called Love Me. And we think the subtitle is Journey Beyond Self-Acceptance. You want to talk about that a bit?
Sure, I would love to. And that has been part of my healing. And I've always wanted to publish a book since I was a kid, and I kind of tucked that away and forgot about it. Like that's for other people, not me. And that's what I'm trying to, the message I'm trying to convey is that all those dreams are in you for a reason. If it's in you, it's a possibility. So going back to my own journey, and writing has been a huge source of healing for me. I had a major shakeup in my life a few years ago and a devastating breakup, and it helped me come, and you know, I kind of like lost everything, and it helped me just process what I was feeling. But I also, you know, remembered that I loved poetry, and the words just flowed through poetry. And so then it came into this, well, why not me? Why can't I publish this book? And it's much easier now than it was, let's say 20 years ago to do that. And so that also played a part in it. But once I made the choices to start to do that, again, the momentum started building in my life and things started to move out of the way so that I could do this. So I think that's like so important. And
I want to highlight that real quick. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you, but I like what you just said. Once I made a choice to do something, it built momentum. And it's almost like there's too much momentum you're trying to keep up, but that's a good problem to have, right?
Yeah.
We want to have that. So to our listening audience, you know, one choice, sometimes its only purpose is to give you information about the next choice you have to make. Mm-hmm. So let's do this. So you said, let's keep the momentum going. You said that this book writing thing just keeps opening up new things. It's going to drop February 14th. And I think
yes.
that day specifically for a reason.
Yep.
So let's make sure that we bring you back on the show for February 14th. So we can talk a little bit more in depth about that book and how our listeners can get a hold of that. Is that fair?
Okay. Yes. I would love to do that.
Awesome. Well, let's connect to the second part of our show where we always like to engage people in the choices they can make about connecting to nature. Mm-hmm. I know you and I have talked off the show, David, if you want to roll those photos for me. You and I have talked offline about how we get inspired. So you told me a story about walking on a trail and having some birds land on your hand. Could you articulate for the listening audience kind of what was that experience? What did you observe and feel? And what was your takeaway?
Okay, great. That is so incredible. There's a favorite spot I have that's nearby. It's about 10 minutes away. And it's this conservation area. And I'm constantly going there. And that has been part of my healing as well. But walking on this path, and there's these little pockets of areas where specifically chickadees, but sometimes woodpeckers, and there's blue jays and cardinals and all kinds of beautiful nature around. But stopping to, if you hold out your hand, they'll come sit in your hand. Usually you have to have food in your hand, but I started to notice that they would come to me without food, and there'd be, you know, and it became this game every time I go now. And it's this way of communicating and connecting with nature. Number one, it reminds me, I used to be afraid of like having a bird in my hand, but now it's like this incredible, the little feet on my hands. And it reminds me how we're all connected, that nature is constantly trying to communicate with us, and everything is energy and everything is connected in that way. And it's just such a beautiful feeling to have that connection in that way. There's so many more connections in nature I could talk about.
Well, and that's why we have to have you on another show, because I think you and I could make our own show about the connections we have to nature and just talk for 30 minutes about that. I know for me that when I go, I think it's especially when I'm feeling anxious or stressed, sometimes just going to someplace that's automatically more quiet is good for my soul, good for my energy. But I notice that I tend to pay attention a little bit more. I slow down, I look around, and I kind of have this phrase that if you're curious about nature and you're quiet, and you're kind of respectful, and you just kind of become a part of the landscape, nature will become curious about you. So I was watching the video. We don't have a video for the audience, but I was watching it, and I heard you like suck in your breath when these birds landed on your hand. Mm-hmm. And then you were like, hello, friend. So tell me, what did you feel in your body when these little small tiny creatures just time after time after time landed on your hand? And then what did you take away from that that you apply to real life?
Okay. Well, first of all, it just lit me up. Like I was just like, oh my God. And in some cases they keep arriving and taking off and arriving and taking off. And it's like, I felt this sense of trust, and it reminded me, like, again, how we are all connected, how everything is energy, and how, just if you're paying attention to the things around you, there's so many messages and so much communication that can help guide you, that this connection is just so powerful. And I just, there's something about, I mean, it's hard to put into words this feeling of connecting to something like that when we're so through society and through our conditioning, like, you know, kind of detached from it. And it's, this is what helps us remember that we're all human, that there, you know, and it's never perfect, but that, you know, it's beautiful regardless. So
you mentioned messages that nature gives you. You sent me a picture of a tree, and what I see in it is a big heart shape.
Yes.
And it makes me think that nature was sending you a message to love yourself, to love nature, to love the space you're in, the moment that you're in. Now, I know that you, with your Reiki, meditation is also important to you. Mm-hmm. So can you speak maybe one or two points to how meditation and nature go hand in hand, and what our listening audience could do to bring that in, especially around the busy, crazy holidays?
Okay. Yes. So immediately when I put my foot on the ground in nature, I feel this connection, and I feel like, connected to my soul. And I don't know what it is. I feel so inspired. I feel the messages coming intuitively. I feel this energy that is incredible. And it reminds me, it opens my heart. It opens my mind. It makes me see more things than I've ever seen before, because we're walking through life with these kind of blinders, like, let's just get this done and on to the next task. And it's like, no, it opens up this freedom of just being, and just being in that moment, and just being in the stillness, being in the sounds of nature. And it, for me personally, a lot of times, as soon as I start walking, it is this meditative process, but I have my most inspirational moments of writing, and the words just flow. I have to stop, and I write a lot on my phone. So people are probably like, oh, she's really enjoying nature because she's on her phone. But it's no, I'm writing my book while I'm in nature.
Well, and that's beautiful. And I'm kind of old school. So I will take my phone or a camera so I can capture it, but I like to take a journal with me. Mm-hmm. And it feels like there's a muse sitting on my shoulders, speaking in poetry into my ears when I see things it's so beautiful that I just want to capture it for someone else to, or for myself to revisit later on. So that's the takeaway that I would invite all of our audiences, is that when you go to nature, you know, we're so conditioned to bring our cell phones and do the selfie and get the selfie stick and make sure we put it up in Instagram. And that's not bad, right? That's mm-hmm. a great memory capturing place for later on in life. But the thing I'm going to ask our listeners to do is, after you've gotten that good shot, put your phone away and sit and look down and look up and look around and close your eyes. When I was a park ranger, I used to take second graders out to a trail, and wrangling 30 second graders is next to impossible when you want them to learn something about nature. So I took an example from, I have a Pooh and Piglet exercise book, and Tigger's mm-hmm. always bouncing up and down. So I had the second graders literally just jump up and down, one to get the wiggles out. But all that blood flow went to their nose. And as soon as they stopped, I said, okay, now smell. And mm-hmm. it was interesting because the kids were like, oh, I smell dirt, and I smell lemon, and I smell pine, and I smell whatever kids smell, right? and so the thing is that I had to speak to them at their language. I had to use mm-hmm. their energy. I had to transform it into something that allowed their brain and their body to receive the message that I was telling them. So that's the message, right? Don't mm-hmm. just look at nature, smell nature. And, right. and then the rule of thumb is, don't ever taste nature unless you know exactly what it is, because there's things out there that could kill you. But the bottom line is, use all of your senses when you're in nature. Would you agree, Trish?
I agree. And it reminds me, when you're talking of this, like, I have these special spots in nature where I go and I sit and I meditate, whether it's by the water or in the middle of the woods. And it's like, being in those sensations, like, nature is constantly reminding us who we are and how, you know, the cycles of nature and the way, like, we're just shifting into a new season. And that is like, it's how it's connected to our personal growth path, and how, you know, it shows us the way. It shows us that, yes, there's a time of release and then a time of, you know, restoration and then a rebirth. And it's constantly reminding us that there's these cycles of life, that there's this place that you can always come, and this is, you know, where you are at home. Like, for me, I say it's, when I'm in nature, I'm everywhere and I'm nowhere, and I belong here. So
yeah. And that sense of belonging is so important. I mean, all of us as human beings crave that sense of knowing that this is our place, and this is safe, and this is good, and it's not going to cause us any harm. And so I think that whether it's going out into nature, or whether it's building that house inside yourself, as you mm-hmm. talked about, getting out of those old stories, letting go of old expectations. You know, when I left my job, I had a lot of shame around the fact that I wasn't going to have that job for 30 years mm-hmm. and I wasn't going to retire from that job, and I wasn't going to rise in the rank anymore and get more responsibility. And the beauty about that was, again, I say, surround yourself with people who can accept you in that space of vulnerability. I actually shared that with my parents, and they felt bad that they inadvertently had put that expectation on me. I mean, they didn't, mm-hmm. but that's what society told me that I should do.
Right.
And what was really amazing is, when I was able to tell them, that was a physical release for me. And then I was able to say, okay, that story had a place in my life back then. It doesn't have a place in my life now. Mm-hmm. And what I love about doing this show with you on my birthday is, you know, it's like your message to me was, you know, enjoy the next trip around the sun.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that is an awesome way to think about your life in a year, and that there are so many opportunities available to us. So we only have a couple more minutes.
Okay.
parting words for our audience from you, and then how can people get a hold of you? Oh, I was going to mention that the my amazing picture the other day was I got to see a mountain goat, and my birth sign is a Capricorn, so I thought that was pretty cool. So last words of wisdom for our audience, and then how do people find you on your website and all that, and then will you come back on the 14th so that we can talk about your book?
Okay. So last words of wisdom. I would say that find what it is that sparks something in you that fills you up, whether it's, you know, something creative, and creative can be so many different things. It can be, it's not just art. It's not just writing. It's gardening. It's building something in, and it's not just finding something creative. It's finding other ways, like nature, that nature connection, and just finding ways to be with yourself. We're so always constantly directed externally, and where we need to come back to is that place inside of us that no matter where we are always at home. So right. That is so, like,
I'm sorry. We're always at home. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yeah. How do people find you? We got two minutes left. I got to get your, how do people find you and how do they work with you if they want to?
Okay. So best place to find me, probably my website, and that's www.invibe.ca. I am always on Instagram. So that is at invibe.ca. I work one-on-one with individuals right now. It is a distance Reiki, but the coaching is online and workshops as well. I am building a series of workshops that's going to be coming in the new year that to work with a group of people who are interested in rebuilding that home within themselves.
Nice. That's awesome. Thank you very much, Trish. These times go so quick. So in the last minute, you know, this is Diane McClay with the Diane McClay Coaching and with the Empowering You Through Life and Choice. Thank you again to Transformation Talk Radio. You can find me on DianeMcClay.com. And my shows are always airing the second and fourth Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific time. I'd love to see you there. As always, I'm old school. So if there's something about the show that you liked or generated a curiosity question for you, drop me a text, 503-317-8072, or drop me a phone call if you're within the United States. Email's on my website, of course, as well. Everybody, you know, happy solstice, happy birthday, happy next trip around the sun, whenever that shows up for you. And this is Diane McClay signing off saying, I see you and I believe in you.
Thank you for listening to The Diane McClay Show, where you are empowered to enact change in your life through choice. You know that little voice in your head that's been telling you to pursue that passion project? Or maybe it's been screaming for you to go outside and explore the great outdoors. That voice is you, and you deserve to be heard. Listen, make a choice, make a change, and watch yourself grow. For more information about Diane or to work with her personally, visit DianeMcClay.com.